Hope you're doing well this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to your New Testament and the letter to Colossians, the letter of Paul to the Colossians. I would like to read this letter and then make a few comments about some topics in it. Page 1804. Just kidding. Paul's letter to the Colossians, and it will take just a few moments to read these four chapters. I hope as I read that you'll sense the urgency of Paul's tone as he writes to these believers and the critical juncture in which they find themselves, faced with challenges from without, false teaching and heresy, challenges from within their midst to live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And then in contrast to that, the faithfulness of Paul the Apostle and his fellow laborers who are great examples to the believers in this church. So we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 1, and I will read through these verses. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Let us pray. So, Father, this morning you have confronted us with your living word. And we first must praise you for our glorious Savior, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for his sovereignty. Thank you that he is coming again for us. And how can we say more than what is said there in that third chapter? Christ, who is our life. Oh, may it be true, dear Father. Thank you for the other faithful examples we read about here, Paul, Epaphras, Tychicus, and others. And may we take heed to and fulfill the ministry which we have received in the Lord. Now, in these brief moments, challenge us with your truth that we may be conformed to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name and for his glory alone. Amen. On Wednesday, as we were gathered and heard the last lecture from Attorney Gibbs, he challenged us with the thought that often our lifestyle does not match up with our testimony, that is, what we would say we believe. What we would say we claim is important in our lives, often our life doesn't match up. And he repeated a phrase a couple times, we're guilty of sloppy Christian living. Do you remember that? It was challenging to me. We're guilty of sloppy Christian living, a lifestyle that does not match up with our testimony. That was one of the challenges with this church, as well as the heresy that was being spread among the church. And they were in grave danger of being really snuffed out of existence. The founder of the church, this one Epaphras, was dearly concerned for them. It says there in chapter 4 and verse 12 that he labored fervently always for them in prayers. that they would be mature and grow up. Paul had the same concern for them. He mentioned on more than one occasion, he said in chapter 2 and verse 1, I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. I am earnestly, desperately concerned for your situation. And we find it really is a situation much like we face today in our own lives. And it is that of sloppy Christian living, whether it's false teaching, whether it's a life that doesn't match up with our testimony. It really comes down to the same issue again and again. Notice in chapter 1, in verse 28 and 29, twice already in chapter 1, Paul has called himself a minister. Verse 23, the end of the verse 23, I am made a minister. Verse 25, I am made a minister. And so Paul has a certain obligation, a certain task to fulfill in the Lord. He's a minister, a servant. He had a certain job given to him by the Lord, verse 25 says. We find out exactly what that is in verses 27 through 29 of chapter 1. Notice verse 27 where he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you would expect now Christ in you, the hope of glory, ought to make a difference. This is a crucial change that ought to take place in your life. So Paul says in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, complete, or mature is the idea in Christ Jesus. That is a sobering, serious task that the Apostle Paul has placed upon himself. Not only is it enough that they have Christ in them or that they are saved, but that they would grow up into maturity or that their lifestyle would match their testimony. And it's so serious, notice verse 29, Paul says, whereunto, or for this cause, that they would be presented perfect or mature in Christ, whereunto I labor, striving according to his working. Agonizing effort is put forth for a worthy goal, that is, Christian maturity, growing up in Christ, that I may present every man mature or complete in Christ. I labor, I strive according to his working. Wonderful to know that he works in us mightily as we strive for him. Paul's preaching required agonizing effort. Now notice in chapter 4, the same thought. Epaphras' prayer also involved, strangely enough, agonizing effort. Chapter 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who I think probably was the founder of the church or had spread the gospel among those sister cities, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. Epaphras, who is one of you, he's from their own, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently. And the next part surprises you because fervent labor in our lives doesn't often go with prayer. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. And what is the purpose of his fervent labor in prayers? That you would stand perfect. Same thought and word used of Paul's preaching and agonizing effort in chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. That you would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, that they would grow up in Christian maturity, that their lifestyle would match their testimony. Now come with me to chapter 3. Come with me to chapter 3. I'm going to need a couple of volunteers in just a moment as well. I'm thinking, should I call on students or staff? I thought if I called on staff, that would be more embarrassing and we would get distracted. But it'll be a good idea. Let's do that. We'll call on staff in just a minute. So volunteers, be preparing yourselves and pay close attention here. Notice as we come to chapter 3 now, there's a transition here in the thought. And if you will, permit me to back you up even into chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ... And the obvious answer is you are, because, and already in verse 12 of the chapter, you've been buried with him, you've risen with him, so yes, you are dead with Christ. If you're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why are you subject to these ordinances? Why are you submitting yourselves to this false teaching and this certain program of sanctification that says you need to observe certain holy days and food laws and dietary laws, worship angels, so on and so forth, all the false teaching. Christ is preeminent in all. He ought to be the head. you are dead with Christ. And chapter 3 and verse 1 says, you are risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, and you are, is the thought, seek those things which are above. Verse 2, set your affection on things above. Verse 3, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is coming again. You will appear with him in glory. Verse 5, therefore mortify. So you see the idea here. This is true of you, of your position in Christ. Therefore, live out who you are. And I might add, based on verse 4, in preparation for what you will be. Live out who you are in Christ in preparation for what you will be. Now, he combines these thoughts in a beautiful way in verses 8 through 12 of chapter 3. And now I need my volunteers. Okay, staff, any volunteers? Oh, great. Mr. Chesley, Dr. Bethel, and Mr. Rowe. See? I saw that hand. I know no one else did. Oh, you're pointing towards Mr. Knapp? Okay, Mr. Knapp? Oh, okay. Dr. Pinter. Mr. Rowe, are you feeling well? Oh, yeah, all four of you. And those are four good volunteers. I need four volunteers. Good. Come on up here. And how about we have two stand here and two stand here. And let's see. Let's put Mr. Rowe, you be in the middle on this side. And Dr. Pinter, you can stand there. Mr. Chesley and Dr. Bethel, you stand over here. Okay. They're going to help me preach this sermon. Now, notice in verses 8 through 12, we have a metaphor that's used. We have commands and we have statements of fact. I want to read verses 8 through 12 and then you help me out. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Okay, what's the metaphor that Paul uses in these verses as related to our Christian sanctification? Perhaps your Bible used the word clothe yourselves. My Bible says put on and put off. It's a metaphor for clothing and getting dressed and getting undressed. And what we... No, that's okay. So let's start in verse 8. We'll start on this side. Dr. Pinter, you're bright. I know that. And verse 8. Do we have in verse 8, related to this clothing imagery, do we have a statement of fact or a command? Yes, it's a command. Put off all these. So what you're going to be, Dr. Pinter, all you have to say is two words. Put off. Let's hear it loud, please, loudly.
Put off.
Excellent. Okay, so you see a command here. Put off all these. And these habits and characteristics of life in which you also once walked when you lived in them. Okay. Mr. Rowe, coming along to verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now in this verse, students, is this a statement of fact or is this a command? It's a statement of fact. You have put off the old man with his deeds. Now yours is a little longer, but I'm not scared. You need to say, you have put off.
You have put off.
Did you just swallow your gum?
No, sir.
I'm not a drill sergeant, don't worry. Good. So, now, this is where it gets confusing. You think the Apostle Paul, being imprisoned like he is, you know, perhaps the moldy bread and the wounds from the biting rats, you know, all these things have gotten to his health and his mind because he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. He's commanding something which is already true. That doesn't make any sense. It would be as if I had said to you this morning, sit down, when you're already sitting down. Or wake up when you're already awake. How can this be? Let's go a little further and perhaps we can answer the question. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, is verse 10 a statement of fact, a reality which is already true, or is it a command? Statement of fact, yes. So, Mr. Chesley, you have a longer one, but I'm confident. Your words to say are, you have put off. I'm sorry. Verse 10, you have put on.
You have put on.
Good. Good. They don't even have a microphone. They're doing great. You have put on. Now, we go searching for what we would expect is the balance to this, the bookend to this, and it takes us all the way to verse 12. Clothe yourselves, your Bible might say, or here, put on, therefore, as those chosen of God, holy and beloved, a different lifestyle, a different manner of life, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. So, Dr. Bethel, yours is the command, which is corresponding to the statement of fact, put on.
Put on.
Very good. Now you see the reflective or the symmetrical or the nature of this in which it is mirroring itself. So let's go through this from one end to the other and say it loud so we all can hear.
Put off. You have put off. You have put on. Put on.
Very good. Let's give them a hand. Simon says. Okay. Imagine this now, because lunch is approaching, like a sandwich. Okay? Imagine Dr. Pinner as a nice piece of whole wheat bread. Organic. Okay? And then imagine Mr. Rowe as a nice piece of salami. And then some pastrami, and then, because we are Christians and we have our background in Judaism, we say pastrami, okay? And Dr. Bethel, you're another slice of bread, okay? So this is a complete sandwich, both the reality which is already true in your walk with Christ. Now, you could reference chapter 2 and verse 10 where Paul says, and you are complete in him. There are certain realities about your walk with Christ. You have died with Christ. You are buried with him. You have been risen with him. He is your life. So on and so forth. And this is picturing that. You have put off the old man. You have put on the new man. Therefore, live out who you are. Now, when you go down to the lunchroom today, would you make yourself a sandwich, which is just meat? That'd be a messy, wouldn't it? Would you make yourself a sandwich, which is just bread, and call it a complete sandwich? No, that would be incomplete. And in the same way, any Christian who does not live out the spiritual reality within themselves is just as much a mess and incomplete. Like Attorney Gibbs told us on Wednesday, sloppy Christian living, a lifestyle which doesn't match up with our testimony. Now, it's impossible, my friends, it is impossible to put off the old man and to put on the new man without being fully and firmly grounded in understanding who you are in Christ. To go about sanctification, like these Colossians were trying to do, without Christ as the one who's preeminent and energizing it all, understanding your relationship to him is the key. It's the motivating and energizing, sanctifying factor in it all. Without understanding that, putting off the old man and putting on the new man is impossible. I think I've said it before, the Christian life is not difficult. It's not hard at all. It's impossible apart from Christ. Apart from fully and firmly understanding your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ. You have put off the old man. You have put on the new man. Now, therefore, live out who you are. And a Christian who is not putting off the old man and putting on the new man is a Christian that is out of their mind. Now, Paul is not speaking out of both sides of his mouth. He's asking you to live out who you really are. Now, this, my friends, is the complete package. Just as if we were to picture a sandwich here, which would not be a sandwich if it had, if it was missing bread or meat or whatever else went on the inside. So, one more time for us, okay?
Put off. You have put off. You have put on. Put on.
Very good. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. I don't think it's any accident that Paul puts it in this way. He gives us the commands like bookends on the outside in verses 8 and 12. But then he doesn't command something which is not made possible apart from our relationship to Christ. And so in verses 9 and 10, you have put off the old man. You have put on the new man. And you're renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Turn with me to the sister letter, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 21. Ephesians 4:21. I'll start with verse 20. Ephesians 4:20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And what's the truth in Jesus? Verse 22 and following tells us that ye put off concerning the former conversation conduct the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, or it's growing corrupt, you might say. It's getting worse. It's decaying. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in true righteousness and holiness. Now here again in verses 22 and 24, we have in verse 22 the put off and verse 24 the put on. But sandwiched between them in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's crucial, isn't it? If you and I stray to any degree for any period of time apart from the renewing power of the Word of God telling us who we are in Christ and our position in Him, it'll be impossible to live out who we are. And so Paul challenges us. Live out who you are. Let your lifestyle match up with your testimony. Do away with sloppy Christian living. Put on the new man. Because you have put on the new man, live out who you are in Christ. Let's pray. Father, today, we're at a crossroads. It's a crucial point in our life. It's a crucial point in your church, in America and around the world. It's a crossroads at this point in history, much like it was for those believers in Colossae and for all those in between then and now. And the transcending challenge of all times has always been to live out who we are in Christ, to be radically transformed by your Spirit applying your truth, changing us from the inside out. Help us to understand better who we are in you. Thank you for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you that the old man has been crucified with Christ. Thank you that we are dead to sin and alive to God. Thank you that we can seek those things which are above. Father, this morning, pray for each one here. Oh Lord, may Christ be their life. May Christ be my life. May He have first place and preeminence in all. And then, Lord, for your glory, may we then live it out. May we be a complete, mature believer in Christ. Nothing else will do. for your glory. Lord, we give you thanksgiving for what you're going to do. And we pray all of this in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.